You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to our listeners' questions. This week I have Giovanna Fletcher.
Hello.
And I can't wait because this is going to be fun.
Right.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. My partner and I both have demanding jobs, and lately it feels like we're just two ships passing in the night. We hardly spend any time together, and it's affecting our relationship. Do you have any tips?
Oh,
Thea.
That's really hard, isn't it? I can relate. I can relate. I feel like with Tom, if we manage to watch something together and our feet touch in the evening, that's a win.
You've done well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think being aware that you're so busy and that you're juggling or that you're drifting is really, really important, because mm-hmm. then you can do something about it. I think not being aware of it is the difficult
Could
place
be
to
problematic.
Be.
Could be problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just have to do what you can when you can.
Yeah.
Don't forget that each other exists.
Yeah. And I think it's so easy to look at other couples out there, whether that's your mates or online, and kind of go, oh my gosh, they've got it sorted. They're,
no one has it sorted.
It's all bollocks.
It's all bollocks.
Total rubbish.
No one has it sorted.
Yeah.
I remember one of my friends said the best thing that Hollywood, like big stars, could do for the average woman is to admit how many people they have on their staff.
Yes.
Nanny, driver, cook, housekeeper, accountant, to admit how many people it takes to put that perfect life together.
Yeah. And also, when you are doing all day, I think when you get to the end of the day, you're touched out, you're asked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Tom wants to engage in a conversation at that time of night, I'm like, I'm done. She's switched off.
Monosyllables. Tea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think you have to kind of ride it in a way and realise it's not forever, it's a now thing. So don't panic. It's a now thing, and if you're aware of it, you can change it.
Yeah, and the time does come back around. You know, Jim and I had that when the boys were young. We were tag team, literally, one in, one out, night shift, day shift, night shift, day shift.
Really?
Yeah, for a long time. And then now, the kids are all grown, happy days, drop the grandkids home.
And you found each other, and you like each other still.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes. My four-year-old has just been diagnosed with autism, and I'm struggling to come to terms with his diagnosis. I don't want to tell my friends, as I'm scared they will judge him and not want their children to play with him anymore. Should I be honest with them? From Claire.
Yes.
Of course, if they're your friends, for sure.
Yeah, and if they judge, then get new
friends. They're not friends.
No, they're not at all. Absolutely. I think, I mean, we always worry about our kids and we want to put them first and we want everyone to champion them as much as we do. But I mean, that diagnosis is so common now.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
No.
And I think there are probably amazing platforms out there that will help as well.
For sure. You absolutely tell your friends.
Yeah.
That'd be the first thing I would do. They would know it was coming too. I'd be like, I have to talk, you know, I'm going to take them for a diagnosis. Like, it's driving me. Surely they would be talking about it already.
Yeah, it might not be a shock.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Best tips for keeping young kids entertained at home that don't involve any screen time, Jodie. Don't ask me, Jodie, because I think screens are fantastic because we didn't have them in our day and you bitches are lucky. You can go sit with a babysitter for 10 minutes while mummy does this. We had to keep them entertained with no screen time.
You know what? My favourite game with the kids, we've got chickens, obviously, so we've got a lot of eggs. But basically, after we've had eggs, we keep them. And then we play a game where we lay them all out on a tray and I write numbers on them, just single-digit numbers. And then I give the kids a wooden spoon and they take turns. So I then do a sum. So say it's 3 + 3, the answer is 6, if you didn't know. And then they have to bash the 6. There's something about bashing that egg with a wooden spoon that is endless fun.
Yeah.
So that is a very cheap and cheerful game.
I think it depends on whether it's boys or girls. Not to be too stereotypical, but I did find that my boys wanted to beat things.
Yeah,
hit things, kick
or each
things.
Each other, throw.
Throw, hit, like anything like that. Whereas Ava was very much, actually, she entertained herself.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's just easy for girls. I don't know. I'm not making a sweeping
being
statement.
Being home is really hard. Yeah. I think getting out is yeah. especially with the, with three my three boys. They need to just get outside.
They need to go and be feral.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's there's knowing that that energy is there and kind of go, okay, someone's going to get hurt in a minute. Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen.
I'm going to have to shout. Or we just all get our shoes and go outside.
Have you had any major incidents that involved A&E with them play fighting and things like that?
Oh, actually, no, the play fighting hasn't. They generally have their own accidents. And we've had broken arms, split knees, split head. Yeah, but thankfully... Yeah, none that are just fights, yeah.
Ben and Dan were play fighting Star Wars when they were young with brooms.
Yeah.
And Daniel jumped off the... One of the brooms had broken off the end and that's why it was in the garden in the bin, but they'd used it as a lightsaber. So Ben went, yaga, as Daniel jumped and it landed and just went straight into his side. Yeah. So, but by then, it happened so often that I went downstairs and went, oh, okay, we're going to A&E. You don't even, oh, that's hospital. You just know when you look. Like, normally you'd be like, maybe I could wash that away. We'll see if it, you know, if it doesn't heal properly. Oh, we're going to A&E. Let's go.
Also, I do love the fact we give the kids things like, well, lightsabers or brooms.
Wooden spoons.
And then we're surprised when they then hit each other with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I should just give them a pencil from the start and gone.
No, they'd stab something.
They would. That's
I've seen
true.
Boys do things with pencils that would make your eyes water. And that's, yes, that is what I mean.
I do think, though, as soon as they were little and I started saying, no, leave your Willy alone, leave his Willy
exactly.
alone, that kind of set it up, really, for
failure.
Future.
Yeah. Yeah, for failure. Boys and Willys, it's just going to happen. And if how men relax is to put their hand down their pants and chill, it must be inbred from birth.
Yeah.
I just...
Something about holding it.
Yeah.
Making sure it's still
tweaking,
there.
Tweaking. Wibbling. I mean, there's only so many times you can say, can you please play with your Willy in your bedroom?
Does this stop, Caroline?
No, I have said to Jim on occasion, like, hand. If we've got people coming round, he's not actually doing, but he'll just how he relaxes.
Yeah.
Hand and pants, beer. I'm like, love, please, the hand. What? It's comfortable. Okay. No, he doesn't do anything untoward. he's not standing there butt naked when we have guests. My 10-year-old is falling behind everyone else in her... I said that too... Now I've read the context, I need to be a bit more serious. Okay. My 10-year-old is falling behind everyone else in her class at school and it's really getting her down as she is worried she won't get the secondary school she wants. She tries her hardest with her homework and studying, but she's just not very academic and we can't afford to get her any private tutors. How can I support her through this period? From Bex.
I think we focus, especially with school, we focus so much on what kids cannot do in that classroom setting. Kids can do so many things. We need to celebrate the things that they do. The
Amen.
Classroom setting is just one setting. Yeah. There are so many other places that they can thrive, and it's about really celebrating those areas.
It's hard, though, because the school system is set up that everyone gets exactly the same treatment.
Yeah.
And it took one of... So we had Ben and Dan who went through the system, hated it. All of the kids have got one variation of ADHD. All of them. And it took getting to Max and Ava for the teachers to go, do you know what we've learned? Your kids cannot do these languages. So we're just going to take it off.
Really?
It's a wasted attempt at a GCSE. And we all went, oh, thank God. Because they were like, you know, you can do German and French and Spanish. And I can see the kids are like, Mum, can you just tell them, please? Because I just... But what they can do brilliantly is accents and acting and singing. You know, let's celebrate what they can do and stop trying to make everyone do frigging physics.
Yeah. Yes. I don't need that.
But
don't
put the pressure on. Also, where's the pressure coming from to get the secondary school? I understand that, but if she's 10, I would feel like you have to cushion that a bit more. Don't put the pressure on the kid.
Yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? Because especially when you hear of other people getting tutors and things like that, you're suddenly like, oh, this is something I'm meant to care about.
Yeah.
Do you care about it?
Yeah.
Do you care about her? Do you care about it enough to put the pressure on your child? And also, I don't think it's a very healthy way to learn.
No.
To put that pressure on so that they have to retain facts. I find it really weird. It feels like every part of the school system is set up for an exam. We're going to learn this and then this.
And then test you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Stacey said when I spoke to Stacey Solomon. She said she has, obviously, the two boys that have been at school. One is set up and does really well in that atmosphere and one just absolutely does not.
Mm.
And you can just see the difference because children are different, but they're not treated differently.
Yeah.
Okay, myself and my partner are vegetarian and we have chosen to raise our daughter the same. Last week she came home and told me she tried a burger at her mother-in-law's. It was not me. I am fuming and can't believe she's going against our wishes and feeding my child food I haven't authorised her to have. How can I confront her? Anna.
I mean, maybe it was a vegan burger.
I think you're being nice. I would ask how old the child is. I would want to know how old the daughter is, because if she is a certain age, you might want her to be vegetarian. She might not want to be. That's number one. Also, for me, it's what your child wants. It can't be you deciding you're going to be vegetarian, I think.
Mm.
It's easy for me to say. I was a vegetarian for a few years until I wasn't. I got pregnant with Ben and got cravings and it was out the window.
Really?
Mm.
I've had two stints of being a vegetarian. Loved it until I didn't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah. But I mean, naughty mother-in-law. I mean, she has to say something.
Let's assume the mother-in-law did it on purpose and the child is younger and it is the mum's choice. Let's assume that that's the case. You have to talk to the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Because if you've decided to live your life in any way, and that's with anything, right? It's not just mm-hmm. about a burger. Any choices that you've made for your child have to be respected by whoever's looking after them.
But if your daughter is older and said, "Nanny, I want some burger," firstly, she should have probably called the daughter-in-law. I would. I would call Lily and say, "Okay, she wants a da 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 da."
I think it's about more than the burger.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Maybe Anna and the mother-in-law don't like each other.
Possibly.
Sorry. This episode is obviously brought to you by the SkinRox app, your free-to-download ultimate guide to skincare made by me, all in one place, with a catalogue of over 24,000 products and over 600 expertly written articles and guides with new content daily. It really is your destination for your best skin yet. And I'm thrilled, because I can, to offer you an exclusive discount to unlock an elevated app experience with exclusive features and even more skincare expertise from me, plus so much more. Revolutionise the way you discover, shop and learn about skincare with our multi-award-winning app. Download the SkinRox app for free and sign up to premium with your exclusive code CHPOD, all in caps, to save £10 off your annual subscription. More details in the show notes. My 15-year-old daughter has started hanging out more with her friends and I'm a woman obsessed. I have her on my Find My Friends and I'm non-stop checking her location like a hawk. It's becoming obsessive, but I just get so anxious and worried about her. How can I calm down and avoid checking where she is every 5 minutes? Lou.
It's funny, isn't it? We find ourselves going into certain habits, you know, and then they just stick and they take over. I mean, I get it. It's not like when we were 15 and there was a bit of freedom because...
Not like when I was 15, I was a latchdo. I mean, there's that meme where there's like parents saying goodbye to their kids these days. Have you got your phone? Have you got this? Make sure the app is on. Da da. And my dad was like, "See you later. Be back for tea."
Yeah.
Gone.
Or the lights coming on.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Street lights are on. You better get home. Yeah. And if someone's mum was going, "All right, Caroline, your mum's looking for you," you'd be like, "Shit, yeah, I'm in trouble." Yeah. So I can't relate because some of the family, like, we share our location. Yeah. I don't know why, but we do. But I will occasionally remember that it's there and I'm like, "Oh, so-and-so's there and so-and-so's there." I don't have the same, like, panic.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would feel. I mean, it wasn't around when Ava was 15, which is probably for the best.
But yeah, because you were both quite fiery with each other, weren't you? To have that, "I know you're here," would be intense.
I mean, I would still, but we still had the thing where, you know, she'd text me and go, "Can you please say that I've got to be home, be angry?" I'd be like, "Got it." So I'd call and go, "You need to get your ass home now."
Really?
I had to be so mean that all of the kids' friends are still afraid of me, because I would do that for the kids.
Oh.
I'd go, "You better get home now. I can't believe you haven't done this homework. Or I'm going to come and get you now if you're not here in 10 minutes. And then they take you like, "I'm on my way home. Thanks, Mum." So now I'm like, now, you know, all the friends are like, "I'm in the sirens." I'm like, "You do not have to be afraid of me. I'm not going to throw my kids under the bus, but I was doing it for a reason." But I probably would have stalked her. Yeah. 15 is a hard age.
Well, the thing is, when the technology's there, it's very difficult to kind of just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got security cameras. I love having a look. Is everyone home? Oh, they're playing in the garden. Oh, they've hit each other. I'll turn it off now.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, they're fighting. They've broken something. Goodbye.
Yeah. Just that little check-in every now and then. I get it, but I guess it's when it's encroaching on privacy.
Exactly.
It's a 15-year-old daughter who's she's gaining her independence and kind of doing things. You just have to trust that she's going to come to you with the things that she actually wants you to know.
Yeah. I mean, literally. And then don't obsess. Maybe check she got to where she said she was going.
then away.
Then leave it.
Yeah.
And then if you're if she's staying the night, I would still, if they were staying the night, I'd absolutely check again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I absolutely would check again. If they say they're going to be where they say
but
they're
going to
be.
But you also, with things like that, you don't want to do it so much or make it turn into an issue that then they might leave their phone somewhere on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they're not.
You've got to play it clever
phone.
Here, Lou. Yeah, you've got to play it clever.
It's really hard.
Right, last one. I'm getting married next year and my husband and I have started planning our honeymoon. Our son will be 2 by the time we get married. My husband is desperate for us to have a holiday by ourselves and I would love that, but mum guilt is eating me up. Am I a terrible mother if I leave our son behind? Get on the plane. Do not even think about it. I don't know why you're asking us that question. Sorry, but you go, G.
No, I completely agree. It's your honeymoon. And you know what? I completely understand the fact that it's family time. It's you together. This family is like bonded in a new way, but it's still your honeymoon.
A honeymoon is not.
And mum guilt is, it's, you know, it's a rubbish thing, to be honest. And you're always going to have it no matter what. Even if you have your baby there, you're going to feel guilty about certain things. So I would absolutely embrace the fact that it's your honeymoon and go for
get
it.
Get on
yeah.
the
before
plane.
You have maybe subsequent children and then you're and never also, going anywhere.
Yeah, and also, they're 2, they're not even going to remember you weren't there.
No.
You know, get on the plane. Because when that kid is grown up and leaves and doesn't give a shit about you anymore, it's going to be you left there with your husband. And you need to make sure you still like each other.
Yeah.
Which Jim and I do, thank God.
For now.
For now. Spoken like a bit of wisdom there, G. You have moments where you're like, oh, that, you know, you can't.
God, you're
I'm
annoying.
I'm
going
to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm not, you know, like Ava said, I know you and Dad are getting divorced. I was like, this is a while ago. Oh, no, it's fine. I mean, what are you talking about? Should I know Dad slept in the other room? This is only recently. And I went, Ava, Dad snores.
Yeah.
He snores. And you've all left home like it's.
We've got one of our kids in our room at the moment.
Yeah.
And we were away somewhere, me and Tom slept in the same bed. And I was like, God, you're actually such an annoying sleeper.
You're so big and yeah. annoying.
Whereas the kids are so much easier to yeah. sleep next to.
Like, yeah. Well, when they're out of bed, you're like, oh, I can sleep like Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said, are you absolutely sure? You're lying to me, aren't you? And I was like, Ava, trust me, I may kill him. I'm never going to divorce him.
I think it's a really clever thing to yeah. have separate beds.
I said it's not divorce love, it's a luxury.
Yeah.
We have a spare room.
But
go snore in there.
Yes, to sleep better. You're a better human if you sleep. And I am a terrible human if someone wakes me up. Whether that's a light going on, the toilet, the bathroom door opening or closing, a snore, anything like that, I'm just a bit like, and I'd rather not wake up in a, I'd rather just be a rested sleeping lion.
Yes. And then you can do that on honeymoon.
Yes.
Go on honeymoon. Leave the kid at home.
Have all
the sleep, all the food, all the other.
Yes.
Because that also goes to a point where you're like, I'm actually very tired, Jim.
But me and Tom took a pile of books on our honeymoon. We had the other as well, but we had a pile of books as well.
That's a nice place to leave it.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
had the other, but we had a pile of books. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, for your questions. I think we had a font of knowledge there, especially with, well, between us, we've got 6 boys.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And Ava, who, by the way, could outdo them on everything on not even her best effort.
What is it like now having 3 men
fantastic.
In the room?
Fantastic. I'm the shortest person in the family, and I'm
really?
5'10".
Wow.
Fantastic. But they're still boys. Yeah. Mess. Like, just have you done all of the childhood things? Like, not like, have you done knits?
We never had knits, and my boys have long hair now.
How have you never had knits?
I don't know, they
worms?
Are clean, I promise. Never had
wow.
Worms.
Have they been away on any school trips though?
They've been to France, one of them's been to France.
See, usually it would be when they came back from a school trip, you'd be like, oh, Jesus Christ, I need to disinfect you. God. My kids are going to be like, great, Mum, thanks. You've just basically told the world
I mean,
that we've got nits, worms,
my
everything.
My chickens
and
had red mites, sandworms. So, you know, in some ways we've had it in the house, just not with the kids.
Just with the chickens.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.